En soos ek nou gedeel het, daai liedjie is koning van my hart. En dis een van my gunstelinge liedjies op die album. Want het spreek van een van die kernthemas van die album. Dit is die hart achter ons aanbidding. So jy sal sien die hart is op al die posters en die banners daar waar Etienne se gesig is. Mense, jy moet vir Etienne ons ondersteun. Hy is baie excited oor sy gesig daar achter. En so dis waar ek oor net kortliks wil deel vir oggend die hart achter ons aanbidding. And for my sake and your sake, I'm going to carry on in English. Come on, give me a hand. I practiced all week to say that. I remember Pastor Andre Kerr, you guys all know him well. He was with you guys for a long time. He invited me and James to a praise and worship seminar in March this year where we played with Retief Berger and his band. Wonderful worship weekend. But I remember when the invite came through, his email came through and the subject heading was The Heart of Worship Conference. And I must be honest, I thought to myself, The Heart of Worship Conference. Andre, with all due respect, could you not think of a more original title? I mean, The Heart of Worship. We've been singing Matt Redman's song, The Heart of Worship, for the last 20 years, it feels like. We've read books about it. We've preached sermons about it, The Heart of Worship. Little did I know that God was speaking loud and clear that Andre was spot on and I needed to come by. And I was praying at the beginning of the year. I always trust God just for a word for the worship teams and just for the churches on occasions like this where God speaks to me about what he has in store for the church, specifically us as Shofar for that year. And it was still one of the intercession sessions at Stellenbosch. And what I saw was two hearts. So you'll see my little pictures over there. Two hearts with kind of like the left heart was actually smaller than the main heart, which was on the right. And in this picture or this vision, and I don't get many of those, so when they come around, I tend to listen. This left heart was facing the wrong way. It was kind of facing away from the right heart. And in this picture and vision, this left heart turns to the right heart and then slowly moves towards the heart on the right. And initially, they're kind of beating out of sync. They each got their own BPM. And this little heart comes up against the big heart like this. And initially, they're like kind of out of sync, but the little heart then starts taking on the big heart and they start beating together. And so God started speaking to me clearly about this issue of the heart of worship. And he said to me, Richard, you don't understand the heart of worship. And I want to teach you about it this year. And so I started praying about it and I was saying, God, you know, I understand the second part of the term worship. You know, we have Bible school, we have foundations, and we know the difference between worship and praise and what is worship, what's the Hebrew word, what's the Greek word, but what do we mean about the first part of the term, the heart of? And so I did what any person living in this day and time does, I Googled the heart. Now you guys are a bunch of doctors and physiotherapists and OT, so you know all the stuff, but I really was bad at biology and I can't remember anything. So 20 years later, this was like a light bulb moment for me when I Googled this, and you'll see these amazing facts about the heart. I think that it beats something like 2.5 billion times per year. If it will fill up a couple of these big, massive freight trucks of blood, your own heart, in a lifetime. And then I was amazed at the strength of the heart. It's like if you buy a new tennis ball and you give it a good squeeze, you know, you have to squeeze it quite hard. That's how hard the heart pumps every single time, 2.5 billion times. And so, I don't know if that impresses you, but this was a bit of a light bulb moment for me, and I just realized this is an important organ. I mean, I know the brain is important. If something goes, you know, wrong up there, then you've got a problem. But the heart, I'm telling you, the heart is, in my books, it's even above the brain, because this thing, it just keeps you going, man. It just pumps blood to the extremities of your body. And I remember when William, our son, was about, he was a couple of weeks old, we'd fallen pregnant, and it was our first gynae visit, and we went up the road here to Panorama Mediclinic, and I remember getting into the doctor's room, and he took us into his little room there, where he had his sonar, and he had his McGafter over here that he put on my wife's stomach, and he cranked up the volume, and I didn't know what that was for, but I thought we're just going to look at his screen and see something. And all of a sudden, I just hear this. I'll never forget it. 157 beats per minute. My little guy was going at 157 beats per minute. And I mean, I was blown away. I mean, my eyes just filled with tears. Because we'd been following this thing for 8 weeks. Jolene had bought one of these books, you know, Your Pregnancy Day by Day. And then every night we sit for 10 minutes and we look what's happening to him. And I mean, you guys all know about this. But in the beginning, he doesn't look like anything. I mean, he's a little jelly bean and he doesn't look like a human. It's quite scary in the beginning, actually, because, you know, he's got this massive, like, head thing. And then it, like, kind of unwraps like a bean. And then initially, he doesn't have legs. It's like this little tail and then these little feet. And I mean, it's a miracle. I promise you, if you have a kid and you still don't believe there's a God, then there's something wrong with you. Because we followed this thing for 9 months and it was just, it is a miracle. And so for me, when I hear the heart and I think back of that day, it represents life. And so when people say, what does the heart mean to you? It means life. And so if life is in the blood and the heart is pumping blood to the extremities of the body, we're dealing with, in my opinion, the main thing, the core organ in the body. So when we say the heart of worship, what we're really saying is the main thing about worship, the engine room, the core, the kern van ons aanbidding, the heart of worship. So what is the heart of worship? So I prayed about this, and God started giving me some scriptures. That first one, Deuteronomy 30, verse 10. Goodness, I need to read it from here. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and then he goes on to list just the blessings that will overflow. And that was the first part of that picture, that vision I had, was this little heart turning to the main heart. And God started speaking to me and he said, and this sounds hard, but if you don't have a heart that is turned with its entirety, with all your heart to God, then you need to ask yourself, do you really have a heart of worship? And so he started challenging me, have you turned your heart 180 degrees? Or have you only turned it 90 degrees? Or have you turned 2 or 3 of the chambers in your heart? Dale, how many chambers does a heart have? 4, eh? I remember that from the internet. So God saying to me, Richard, you haven't turned to me with all your heart. There's still some stuff in your life that you think it's not a big issue. But if you want to be a worshiper, if you want to have the heart of worship, you need to turn with all your heart. And that's the challenge I'm putting out there this morning as well. And you know what it will mean to you. I'm not talking about major sin here or anything like that. I'm just talking about, you know, when God has got access or control of your entire life, you know, the little things that you think, I manage that better. Or, God, you know, my business is fine. You know, I'll run the finances. Thanks for that bit of advice or that nudging or that prompting. But I'm actually in control here. God is saying, my children, you need to turn with all your heart. Bring it all to me. I want your entire heart. So number one, I believe the heart of worship is a heart that is turned to him completely. Secondly, the heart of worship is a heart that beats to the rhythm of God's heart. And I was once listening to an old tape back in the days when tapes were still around. Just shows you how old I am. And I think it was one of the Rhema pastors just said, he asked the question, he said, what does God's heart sound like when it beats? So I'm asking you this morning, this is an interactive service, so if you want to talk to me, you're most welcome. So this pastor says he thinks the heart of God sounds like this. People, 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 people. Remember, it always stuck with me. The fact that God's heart is a heart that beats for justice, it beats for righteousness, it beats for justice, it beats for others. And I just felt God saying to me, Richard, you need to speak to your worship teams. You need to speak to your worshipers. Worship cannot stay within the confines of this building. And that's what I loved about something like, even like the Coast to Coast tour. You know, we took the album of last year and we went up the coast in December with it. And I must be honest, I was really nervous of going to sing praise and worship songs along the coast of South Africa in peak time between the 20th of December and New Year's. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, are these people going to laugh at us? Because now we start rocking up.
Hartenbos, Mosselbaai, you know, and it's lekker, lekker, it's December, die braai is aan, en die bier is uit, en die sigarette is aan, en die boepense staan, en hulle kyk vir ons, en wat gaan julle nou hier kom doen? And as I'm thinking, Lord, what are we doing here? We're singing our little English songs here to these people. And I tell you, the band can testify, God moved on that tour like each time. It was just, he held back the clouds in Jeffrey's Bay. You know, it was just miracle after miracle. But the biggest miracle was how responsive the people were. And we had over 100 salvations on coast to coast. And people getting baptized in the sea there, right there, on the beach, in front of everybody. And I just felt God saying, you know, that's the type of worship we need to have. It cannot stay within the confines of the building because God's heart beats for people. And so even to the worship teams that are struggling with growth and everything like that, I say, don't wait for other musicians from other churches that are not happy at other churches to come join your church to grow your team. Go and find the unsaved musicians in Tigerberg or Paro or wherever you are. And that's what I love about a guy like Greg Boy, who played electric here next to me this morning. I remember when I came down from Pretoria, he was leading the team in Cape Town. And he really led it really differently to me. And I learned so much in the first year that he was leading it. But the one thing that he did is he connected with other musicians that weren't necessarily saved in Cape Town. And some of them are still in church today and serving in our worship teams. And that's the type of worship we need to have in our worship teams. The one that goes beyond these doors of this building or beyond the TSS. It goes and finds where are they having karaoke nights in Tigerberg or Durbanville or Paro. Let's go and find those people. Those are hurt and backslidden Christians. I'm telling you, most of them were in church. And that's God's heart. And that's why he's saying in Amos here, take away the noise of your songs, the melodies and the stringed instruments. He wants justice. He wants righteousness. Go and find those people. And I remember in Pretoria, actually I was at a Hillsong conference in 2006, and they preached about this, and it really impacted me deeply. And I remember then when I was still with Ross in church, we had this, not a soup kitchen, yeah, kind of like a soup kitchen down the road there in the center of town. I mean, like, you know, the really the bad part of town. And I remember one time I said to the band, you can go write a song or you can go find a song, but on Monday night, we're going to that shelter and we're going to sing for these guys. And it was the first time our worship, and I remember it was given a Kopsky Fons band, but we went and performed for the homeless people there down the road. And I know most of them listened, some of them didn't, but it was a changing moment for us as a band, just going beyond the confines of the church building. So number one, the heart of worship is a heart that's turned to God. Secondly, it beats to the rhythm of God's heart. Thirdly, what's wrong with this heart? Come on, people, this is easy. What's wrong with this heart? It's blue. What color is a heart normally? Red. And what's the color you associate with romance? Most of us red, hey. I've asked this once or twice, and I've got some weird answers. But Matt Redman writes in one of his books, let's leave space. Let me not confuse what he says. Let me actually read it for you. Let's leave room for the unpredictable in our worship. Let's leave room for romance. And I thought, Matt Redman, first you wrote that old song, The Heart of Worship. Now you come and write rubbish like this. But again, God is just speaking to me and saying, you don't understand this either. And, you know, one of the things we have in my family at home, we try and, on a Monday night, we try and do this date night because we're really busy, both of us, and we just decide if we don't do something like a date night, we're actually not going to get time to spend with each other. Now, the idea with date night is that you do something special now, whether it's a cooking experiment or you buy something or you just do something that's different. Guys, what is the worst thing that you could possibly do on date night? Tilman. Watch rugby. Yes, that's up there. That's pretty disastrous, yes. Any other lead balloons? Somebody got that joke.
I tell you, one of the worst things you can do, because I've done this, is do the same thing that you did last week. And I learned this the hard way. And God just said to me, you know, Richard, it's the same with me, you know, and you, what you bring me every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening. And if you liken it to a cooking experiment or being a chef, you know, you cook up the same thing each week and each week in and out, and you bring it to God. So on your Sunday morning, you know how to make scrambled eggs on toast, you bring it to God. And the Sunday evening, you make tuna, mate, because that's all you know. And he's saying, surprise me. Bring me something different. Go worship teams and go and learn some more chords. Go and learn to play the capo if you can't. But just learn something different. Keyboardists, go and find some new songs. I know you know the five songs that you've been playing for the last 5 years in church, but this keyboard has got 500 sounds. Sit through the night if you have to, but bring me something fresh. Excite me. Bring me something new. And that's the heart of romance. And that's what I want to challenge you guys. You know, don't do the same thing each week in and week out and bring your worship in the same way. And if you still, you know, if you're not comfortable lifting your hands, you know, just stretch out. Go beyond that. And God's saying, come on and surprise me. And that brings me kind of to my second last point, which is where he says to me, where he said to me, demonstrate your affection to me. Now, this is William when he was about ten months old. We could have put anybody there. We could have put Nathan there. We could have put Dale's kids there. We could have put Etienne's kids there. You guys, you a bunch of parents, you'll understand where this is coming from. So William, our little guy, he's like a typical little boy. And he likes to play in the sandpit and push the scooter around, but he doesn't like to sit on your lap and get hugs and kisses from mommy and daddy. So affection coming from his side is like really scarce. And when it comes around, you're like, it lasts for like 2 months, you know. And I remember the one morning, just kind of, you know, we were on the bed and just playing around. And all of a sudden, I'm lying on the one side. All of a sudden, he crawls across the bed. And I see him coming closer, and he comes, and he, at that stage, he had a bit of a cold. So, you know, those two lines, those green lines that that run down here, if you don't wipe them quick enough. He had two of those, you know, just before I could get it. And he kind of crawls up to me, and he plonks it down. You're kind of in my ear and down my beard. But I tell you, people, I loved it. And I loved it because it maybe happened once before that. And God said to me, spoke to me so clearly in that moment, says, it's precisely the same with you. Come to me, snort near, see, and I'll, but just come. Just show your affection. I love it when you show your affection to me. I love it when you say to me, I love you, Daddy. Hey, how amazing it is when our kids say to us, I love you, or they come out of their own. Not, kom hier, ek wil vir jou drukkie gee. When they come from their own and they demonstrate affection to us, I mean, it just melts our hearts. And God is saying, it's precisely the same. So in our worship, it's precisely the same. And I was praying for you guys, and I was saying, God, what do you want me to say to Tigerberg specifically? Give me a word for Tigerberg. And he's saying, tell the Tigerberg worshippers, they must feel free to express themselves before me. I love it. I love it when they demonstrate their affection. I love it when they come and they pour their praise and they pour their worship on me, and they mustn't hold back. And that's the word he's given me for you, that you would come and just pour your love on God. And that's a very short word this morning, but that's what I wanted to share with you. It's just the heart achter ons aanbidding, the heart of worship. And so just to recap while the band comes up, the heart of worship is a heart that's turned to God in its entirety. If you're struggling with something this morning that you know you need to, there's something where God hasn't got 100% control of your life. God is saying, this morning is the morning. Bring it before me. And the amazing thing with this is you need to trust him. He is a good father. He knows what's best for you. You think you can't give this thing up, but he's saying to you, and I can see down the line. You just see in this day and age. I see further down the thing. I can see what's going to happen. Trust me on this. Secondly, a heart of worship is a heart that beats to the heart of God's heart, and his heart beats for others. So let your worship go beyond just what's happening here in this church. You figure out what that means between you and God. Thirdly, the heart of worship is a heart of romance. And those of you that are married, maybe it was funny this morning, but some of these things are moksubikisier, because I know how easy it is to lose touch with your spouse
just in the busyness of life. And you're not trying to do it deliberately. It just happens because we're running around like malrotte, trying to survive in this life. And God's saying, make time for romance. Make time for those covenant relationships in your life. Make time for your covenant relationship with God. Romance Him. Bring Him something new. Bring Him something fresh. Surprise Him. And then lastly, demonstrate your affection before Him. Bring it. He loves it. And, you know, this weekend was a weekend of thanksgiving. And I think that's my last point there. It's just the heart of worship starts with a heart of thanksgiving. And we just did something on Friday night. C.S. just walked up to the mic and he said, let's just think back. Let's just think back of our salvation. Let's just recall. Let's just replay that those few minutes. We go back to where we think, God, I was going to hell. And you transformed my life. You came and you rescued me. And now I'm going to heaven forever and ever. And for me, I've shared this with you guys before. That is reason enough to jump through this roof. That's reason enough to sing His praise every single morning just because what He has done for us. And there's a million other things. Then you start thanking Him for your job. You thank Him for your wife and your amazing kids. You thank Him for this church. You thank Him for this pastor. The list just goes on and on. If you're struggling with depression, you nail it to thanksgiving. If I just feel slightly depressed, I just start thanking Him. And within 5 minutes, it's gone. So I just want to encourage you. That's the type of worship God, David is speaking about in Psalm 103 verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He's stirring up his soul. David was quite a depressed guy. You'll read it in the Psalms. But he can come there and he can say, soul, start blessing the Lord. Start blessing the Lord. Forget not His benefits. Who forgives your iniquities. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the God we serve. And sometimes, you know, we get null and the devil comes and he starts filling our wells. He starts filling our wells. And what happens when he fills our wells is our thanksgiving disappears. And thanksgiving is the start of it all. That's how we come into God's presence. Psalm 95 verse 2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So there is a correct way to come before God. It's with thanksgiving. So in the morning when you start, you don't start with, God, you have to help me with my presentation today. It's make or break before the board today. Or, you know, whatever job. You just start. You start thanking Him. Thanking Him that He's going to be there for you. Thanking Him who He is, what He's done. And then you move from there. So why don't you stand with us this morning? We're just going to respond to that. If you need to respond, this is between you, God. We're not going to do an altar call or anything. The idea this morning really is that we have a worship service and that you connect with God. But I encourage you, just let's just focus on Him and let's see what He wants to do.